In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. When Jesus taught us that the Pharisees loved money, it caught our attention. From our seat, we had always known the Sadducees loved money. They were the political party in our culture that represented the rich and the powerful interests, the great landowners, those who had great vested interest in the temple system. The Pharisees were the grassroots revivalists. They were the ones that we thought were on the side of the people. They were the ones that loved money. If the Pharisees loved money, what did that say about us? And so Jesus began to teach us about our relationship to money. He started with a story of a manager who had been playing the money game his whole life, grabbing everything he could for himself, always being cutthroat to make as much money as possible. And in the process, he had ruined his relationships. And finally, his relationship with his boss. And his boss told him that he was fired. This man, Jesus told us, though, had an awakening. He suddenly realized that his path of putting all of his eggs in the money basket was about to run out. And so this man quickly and wisely changed everything. He grabbed the document that kept record of all the debts of his boss's clients, and he went around to all of these different clients, and he said to himself, at this point, me making money is worthless because it's going to run out. My reputation is ruined. I'll never be able to earn another dime in this community. And so he went to the people, and he said, how much are you in debt? Let me forgive your debt, at least a part of it. And he went around to all these different people and were forgiving portions of their debt in order to endear himself to these people. So that once he was fired by his boss, there would be people in his community that still had respect and love for him due to his forgiveness and generosity towards them in their great need. He thought, I can't ruin relationships with people because money can't actually take care of me. I need people. I need others. Jesus told us that the boss of this manager was actually impressed. And Jesus said, this manager, he's not a very pious religious example of anything, but can you see it? He saw the dead end of his way of life, and he changed. Can you see it? We too are called to see when we are chasing things that are a dead end. To wake up and completely rethink the way we live, the way we act. Jesus told us, you cannot serve two masters. He said, you cannot love both God and money. He said, it's one or the other. As we were thinking through that parable that Jesus had told us, we understood the relationship of this man to other people. We understood why he would want to forsake money in order to have people that would take care of him when he was homeless and in need, and even on his deathbed and when he was aging. We saw that, but where did his relationship to God fit into this? We didn't quite get it. And Jesus also, it felt like out of the blue, he taught us about divorce. And he said, if you divorce your spouse and marry another, you're committing adultery. And we were thinking, Jesus, what are you talking about? And then he told us another story. He said there was a rich man who had everything, everything. He had so much he didn't have to work ever again. He partied and celebrated every day of his life, living in luxury. Outside the front gate of this rich man's property was a poor man named Lazarus. This man was always sitting at the gate of Lazarus, begging for anything, just a scrap to keep him alive. He was a miserable man, sick with sores. The gross dogs were always all over him, licking him. But Lazarus never saw compassion from the rich man. Day after day, the rich man turned away from Lazarus. And in fact, every time Lazarus would try to sneak onto the rich man's property to get a crumb of bread, the rich man threw him off and said, "You're trespassing on my property." And then Jesus told us that Lazarus died. And Lazarus was taken into the arms of God. And there he found comfort and resurrection life. And then Jesus told us the rich man died. And he found torment and pain. And the rich man went to Abraham and said, "Father Abraham, please save me from this torment." And Abraham said to him, "You realize you brought this on yourself. Every single day of your life, you chose to live for you. You chose to ignore the poor on your doorstep like Lazarus, and you lived for yourself. You already had the good things. Now you're suffering the consequences of your choices." Lazarus, there in the comfort of God's arms, and the rich man saw Lazarus and was envious now of all of Lazarus's comfort, being in the presence and protection and provision of God. And the rich man still wouldn't back down. He said, "Abraham, no, send Lazarus to help me." No, you think you could just order Lazarus around even in the afterlife? "Well, fine, Abraham, then at least send Lazarus to my brothers. Make Lazarus raise from the dead and go talk to my brothers so they will choose a different life. They're living the way I lived. I want them to change. I don't want them to suffer the consequences that I'm suffering." Abraham said to the rich man, "They have the prophets. God has been speaking to them all along. They haven't listened. If Lazarus comes back from the dead, they're not going to listen to him. God has been constantly speaking to them throughout their lives, urging them to wake up to the dead end of their greed, self-indulgence, and self-centered living. It's too late for you, but they can listen to the prophets and change." We were overwhelmed. Jesus was convicting us in so many different ways, and we were starting to see how all the puzzle pieces were fitting together. We saw it with Jesus teaching on divorce. We were seeing Jesus wasn't actually talking about divorce in this instance. He was using it as a metaphor. He was talking about how we had been in relationship with God and we were cheating on God with another spouse. And not just cheating, we were trying to marry this other spouse. Money. Jesus was teaching us that if we cheated on God with money, if we married money, that we were adulterers, cheaters on God. Now, we can't think that we would find forgiveness if we walked away from our true spouse of the Lord and lived in relationship with money. And then we were starting to see how all the pieces were fitting together. How Jesus was calling us in the first parable to relate to each other. And how when we serve money, we actually burn bridges in our relationships with each other. If we serve money, we can hurt those closest to us and those farthest away from us. And we got that the most easily. But then in that second parable, we started to see how Jesus was teaching us that our relationship to money ruins our relationship to God. Because we saw the temptation that, yeah, we can use money to make friends. But Jesus had taught us, when you throw a feast, don't do it for people who can pay you back. Do it for those who can't pay you back. And so we saw Lazarus in the parable. That was the way to love God in our everyday lives, was to love the Lazaruses, those who could never repay us, to build relationships of love even with those who could never reciprocate, who could never give back to us. That's the way we were to love God, was through these lowly, invisible neighbors like Lazarus. And if we loved the Lazaruses of the world, then we were healing our relationship to our Creator by loving the smallest and most insignificant of His people and creatures. We saw how much we loved money. We saw that not only could we love money by being self-indulgent and spending lavishly on ourselves, we could love money by being stingy and holding back. And then it all started to fall into place. Jesus had just taught us about the story of two lost sons that had both wandered from their father. The first son, we knew that he was greedy. He had taken half of his father's wealth, gone out and lived self-indulgently, spending everything so he could live for himself. We saw the greed in that. But now we saw the greed in the older son, who was so stingy with his forgiveness, unwilling to accept his brother back into the fold, demanding justice on his own terms and not on his father's terms. And how the greed of both sons had broken their relationship with their father. Oh, we were seeing how we were lost children. We had divorced our true relationship with God to serve money because it seemed like money could answer all of our problems. Money had given the tantalizing promise to provide for our futures. Money had given the tantalizing promise to provide and protect us from all of the dangers of the world as we raised armies and weapons and fortresses and walls to defend ourselves. Money promised so much. It promised to give us anything if we just had enough. But as we chased money, we were ruining our relationships with each other. And even more foundational, we were ruining our relationship with God as we destroyed the smallest parts of His creation. The most invisible and insignificant people we trampled for our self-interests. But as lost children, we remembered the Father seeing His lost children wake up. Like the man who realized money was a dead end. And that the Father was going to run to us, chase us down as we turned back to Him and said, "Father, we've been chasing a dead end. Everything we've been living for has been bankrupt and empty, self-indulgent and stingy." And the Father will run to us and embrace us and bring us right back into His family, throwing a great party for us, showing that generosity shared with others is what we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to live. So may we wake up and come to our senses. Stop serving money self-indulgently and stingily and share. Forgive the debts of those around you, even if they don't deserve. Share with the poor and invisible creatures within God's creation. Lift them up. This is how we love God. This is how we love each other. And our Father will always, always have enough to share with us and take care of our every need. Amen.